Hi, welcome to another episode of the MCAS. I'm Hans, and I'm here with...
I'm Hector, a.k.a. Mr. Dream, this week.
Almost forgot your name for a second.
This week, my nickname is Mr. Dream, if you're going to refer to me.
All right. Well, Mr. Dream, you know, this is our... this week, we're going to have an interview.
A very special guest, so we can pump his ego up a little bit more.
It's a very special episode of... No, sorry.
We're bringing you a very special episode of the MCAS this week. We have an alumnus of the Mortal Kombat family on our show this week, Mr. Sean Himrick, who is now the executive producer of Wheelman, the awesomely rated, buzz-creating... cinematic spectacle known as Wheelman.
Yeah, he's taking a little bit of time out of his really busy schedule. You know, flying across the pond, in fact, all the way from the UK back here to Chicago.
That guy's frequent flyer mileage is out of control. I was looking at his statement a couple weeks ago, and it's like unreal. Like when he goes on a plane, it's basically his seat is coated in like gold leaves.
I think it's like automatic upgrade, you know, first class, everything. Or premier class, or whatever they have for guys that fly that
disgusting.
Much.
Yeah. But you guys might know the name Sean Himrick. He was a producer on Shaolin Monks that he worked on with Hans here. He was producer on MKA Wii, which I worked under him on that game. He also did PSP MK Unchained, which was awesome. I also worked with him on that game. So he's had a lot of experience in the MK family, and it's good to see somebody from our family, you know, handed the keys to a huge IP.
It's cool that, you know, he gets to move up and get, you know, more experience, more responsibility, so he probably isn't quite happy with it sometimes, but so comes with power, you know?
Exactly. We're going to have him in a couple minutes, and he's going to talk to us about how some of the his experiences on MK have helped him develop Wheelman and make Wheelman a better game. And he's got a huge announcement. I'm not going to spoil it right now. I'll let him talk
about
it.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going to say it.
No, I'm not going to say anything. Community people, our MK fan base, our loyal fans, I love all of you guys. We have
I love their passion.
I love their passion. I was on the Facebook page the other day, and you know, MK versus DCU. We have our own Facebook page, and I'm on there. You know, I just want to check the temperature of the waters, if that's what you call it. I want to see what people are saying. I want to see who has, you know, interesting opinions about our game. Who has, you know, very far reaching expectations for our game. I just want to get like a gauge of what people are on there. So I think I see Sean, so let me see if we can kind of grab him. And you know, he's gotten out of one of his high powered lunches with the higher ups in this company. It's so crazy to see him in this world.
Power lunches.
A power lunch. It's like, dude,
which
whatever.
Which means, you know, they're drinking martinis and scotch.
No, don't say that. They're not drinking martinis. Sean doesn't drink martinis. He drinks strawberry daiquiris. All right, let's bring him in.
Nice. Without further ado, we've brought in Sean Himrick. Some of you might have recognized his name on some of the MK titles of the past, such as Shaolin Monks. Another one he did was also the Armageddon Wii.
Armageddon Wii was a very good game.
And then what was the other
Unchained, the PSP.
Unchained, Mortal Kombat Unchained.
That's
for
PSP.
The debut of MK Endurance Mode.
That's right. Unchained was actually a really, really, really good game. It actually surprised all of us, I think.
60 frames a second on the PSP.
That's right. We were one of the first games that actually hit that plateau.
So, yeah, definitely. Sean, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, when did you join the team? How long have you been on the MK group?
Okay, those are easy ones. Let's see. I've been making video games for 8 years. I joined MK in 2002. Just as Deception was finishing, I helped a little bit with the end of Deception doing menial tasks.
Yeah, you're in the crypt. I unlocked you one day, I remember. I was surprised.
Right, so I helped a little bit with that. I just did some spreadsheets and things with that. Then we jumped to working on Deception, and I helped with that some, but my big focus then was during Monk, because we were doing that third party with LA at the former Paradox Studio, which then later when we acquired them became Midway LA.
Yep, I remember that.
Yep, Hans was with us on that, working on the San Diego. It's always a fun time to buy a studio while you're making a game.
Oh, yeah. There's no confusion that ever happens when that happens.
Yep. We did that, and then the PSP, and then the Wii, and getting Armageddon out the door with all of that massive amount of content was everybody possibly helping.
It came out really well.
It did?
Yep.
Armageddon Wii, I think, was the challenge for Armageddon Wii was trying to figure out an innovative way to incorporate the Wii motion into a fighting game. Because
how was that really? I mean,
yeah, up until that time, there was no other fighting game. The only one was Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball Z.
That was the only real fighting game.
We reference it all the time for menus, not for gameplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, how did they deal with swapping all those controllers? What did they do for the gameplay? Wow, that was dumb.
Yeah.
Everyone underestimated the Wii controller. We learned that very quickly. It's just like executives go, oh, hey, we need to do a Wii SKU. Acting like it's the difference between a PlayStation and the Xbox, where you know all the buttons are basically the same. Where the Wii was completely different. We went through multiple control schemes. Multiple different like feed inputs on how we were going to do the super moves, constantly testing those. The big technical hurdle was all the controller swapping, like remove the battery from the Wiimote, plug in a game controller, then plug in a classic controller into slot one.
Yeah.
That was just a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
we really wanted to support every possible controller so that the end user, you know, could have the most variable options they could possibly think of. Whatever they wanted to do. I loved being able to say, if you wanted, you could play four-player cart on the Wii with a GameCube controller, a classic, a nunchuck with Wiimote, or just the Wiimote. All four people doing it whatever way they wanted.
Yeah, and it would actually work. And, you know, that was one of the main selling points for Super Smash Brothers. Like, one of their marketing points was that you can use all of the things.
Well, they weren't going to restrict the player.
We had done that a year earlier. Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, like, you guys were, you know, fine-tuning the whole process, like, almost all the way up to the end, just to make sure it felt right.
Official Nintendo Magazine said, best use of the Wii controller to date in the article.
It was awesome. It was a really cool project. We worked with a really good third-party developer out in L.A., JGI Entertainment.
Yeah.
JGI, look him up in that. Call Linus.
Yeah, Linus Chen is the man. He's listening to this right now, and he's probably happy that we're citing his name. Linus and Daryl, those are our boys.
Yeah.
We'll be out there soon for some Japanese curry, Linus, if you're listening to this.
Twisty!
Oh, nice Japanese curry.
What are you doing now, Sean?
Well, I'll transition that from Japanese curry by saying I finally found a Japanese curry place in Newcastle, England.
Newcastle? Oh. What are you doing out there, man?
Exactly. I'm working on Wheelman, the Wheelman project for Midway, out in our Newcastle studio. I've been out there for now a year. A year yesterday I've been out there.
Wow.
Well, you're not going to stay out there forever, are you?
I am not. When Wheelman is done, I will be coming back to the MK team here in Chicago.
Awesome.
Cool, cool.
What kind of influence has your time on MK given you and developing Wheelman?
Two biggest things, you know, I was kind of thinking about that before we came into this fancy soundproof booth. Is the two biggest things is, one, just having worked with Ed for so many years, the big thing I learned with Ed is the, like, make sure you do one thing at a time and get it right. And the simple example, the guys on the team, the Wheelman team, anyone who listens to this will understand this a lot. As I constantly say, well, I don't know the right answer, but I know what we do on the MK team. What we do in Mortal Kombat right now would be...
And I'm sure they love that. I'm sure they love it.
You know what? I thought they'd be sick of it, but I don't see them cringing yet, and I've been saying it for a year, so...
Well, they are English, and they're known to be polite.
That's true. They are overly polite. But, the best example is we have that this feature that's kind of the most exciting one that the press has latched onto, is a vehicle melee where you can... slam the car left, right with the right thumbstick instead of just having to, you know, like grind at it monotonously. And the move was not very different than it is now last June, but it just didn't feel right. And I kind of looked at it like, well, what would Ed do? As Hector likes to say.
That's nice.
What would Ed do? And we decided to treat it very much like an MK punch. Because you're going to do it a lot in the game, it has to have that satisfaction just like an MK punch. So we put the MK up on the screen next to it, actually the Wii version. On the screen next to it, okay, what happens when you do a punch? Well, there's the lead up to the punch. There's a sound effect. There's a particle effect with it. Then if you miss, there's a different sound effect, a different effect. If you hit the impact, there's the impact effect, the blood effect. So, you know, we have the car equivalent of blood effects.
Right.
And then one of the later ones we didn't realize till very late, it's like, oh, well, the enemy has a reaction in MK. The enemy car has to have a reaction.
Right.
And we've actually used that same philosophy for a ton of our moves, the cyclone and all that stuff in the game, of playing, well, if this was a punch, what would we need and what does it have to do? So getting all that enemy reaction, that feedback to the player that they're doing it right, doing it wrong, or how they can do it better. A ton of the things I learned in Mortal Kombat have just applied to a ton of other games.
That's awesome, man. That's really good to hear. And it obviously, it's worked because at Gamers Day that we had a while back out in Vegas, Wheelman was really, really well received by the press.
Yeah, definitely got a lot of good feedback.
You know, official PlayStation Magazine sleeper hit of Gamers Day.
Yeah. it was cool to see that, and you can totally see the MK influence that's on there. Like,
yeah, I remember being at the Gamers Day and just seeing a lot of people just constantly, you know, lining up to play it, and It was good to see. It was definitely.
You know, there is one character that is in both Wheelman and MKDC.
What's that?
I'm sure I'm not supposed to say.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not supposed to tell. Okay, yeah, that goes back
to
our
almost
whole
got
thing.
He almost tricked me again.
Yeah, I haven't been in Chicago for more than 2 days. I know I'm not supposed to say the characters.
Oh, my God.
Hector.
I'm sorry. I almost let it slip.
You need another demerit here.
No. My demerit slip has probably exceeded the maximum amount at this point. I'm going to be done after this project anyway. So
I was going to just like blurt out a character that's in the game just to say, and then I was going to say, well, they'll bleep that out. Uh-huh. But I don't want to, just in case they forget to bleep it out.
I don't know if we even have like a bleep.
Yes. We don't have the technology to do a bleep.
We can make a video game, but we can't add a bleep.
No. We can make an open world cinematic driving experience extravaganza, but we can't
the ultimate car chase experience. Please get your talking points correct.
The ultimate car chase experience. So what are you looking forward to in Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe? I know you've seen a couple builds. I've sent you a couple. I know I'm pretty sure you stayed up late night with the UK guys, you know, going around and messing with Scorpion and Batman. What do you see?
The thing that I've like, I'm really a big fan right now of the more brutal mode, the close up. What's it called?
Close combat.
Yep.
That's currently my favorite because it's. I'll use the word visceral, which I used overused when we were doing Wii. Mm-hmm. But it has a much more heavy impact. There's a much more direct correlation to your actions and what you're doing. The falling's cool, and the old traditional stuff I've always liked. But as far as the new features, I really like the close combat.
What do you think about the feedback that we've gotten from the online community, the very vocal online community, thinking that the teen rating is going to be a hindrance to the quality of this game?
Well, the two things I'll say to that, I'll quote Ed twice. My favorite, I didn't know he'd done this, but every once in a while I have my internet thing set to like tell me when this website's updated, mm-hmm. So Ed's personal site is there.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, it's updated. What does it have? And it just said, yes, there will be blood. I really like that. And also then in meetings we've had with executives, I've heard Ed say many times, we are going to push the teen rating. If we submit and they don't push back, we've made a mistake. Exactly. We want to go in there and then have them say, you have to remove all of this to be teen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just, you guys were on the thread, I think, this morning. There's an email thread talking about the finishing moves, I'll call them for now. And just some of the creative things that people have come up with that are very obviously totally able to be done in a teen game, but also still very brutal and like disturbing. I can't say that character, but there's one. Yeah, the one everyone's kind of been talking about. Like, wow, that's totally going to be teen, but oh, disturbing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And that was one of the points that we've made on one of our previous podcasts is, you know, the creativity that's being spawned of having to exist in this box of the teen rating is causing these, like, super creative people to push their limits and, like, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this cool? And it's going to be that much cooler. It's not
a challenge,
be,
and these guys are definitely...
Yeah, it's not gratuitous. It's almost like listening to, you know, a lot of, like, hip-hop songs that, like, rely on, like, misogynistic imagery or, like, swearing to sell it. And if you take that away, is it still creative? It's the same thing with these artists that they're using in the same game designers. It's like, how do we exist in this box? So.
And from the online forums I've read, the other thing I kind of think that people don't realize is I think people go like, oh, Mortal Kombat's going to be teen. And in their head, everyone thinks, like, E for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you don't realize what a teen is. Think about all the games out there that are teen. Like, Drake's Fortune is teen.
Yeah. Heavenly Sword.
Headshot. Yeah, Heavenly Sword. There's a lot of games that are like that are teen. And you realize, I think one of the previous Call of Duties was even a teen.
Yeah, Call of Duty 3 and 2 were both teen. It was when
realize
they did 4,
what level of violence you could actually have in a teen game.
Yeah.
GTA, that's teen, right? Isn't it?
I think that one
might
was
not
Crackdown,
be.
Was Crackdown one of those? I don't remember. I don't look enough at those reviews or those ratings. Having worked on Mortal Kombat, a rating is fairly meaningless to me. Until working on Real Man with a teen rating. Man, I have lots of great ideas that they go, yeah, Sean, we can't do that in a teen game.
That's right. Wheelman is going to be a teen. I didn't even realize that. You know, I play the builds all the time over here because I'm doing some work for you guys over here, and I get to keep up with the progress of the game. And you know, you're doing pretty brutal stuff in that game to a lot of the...
If you really think about it, you know, a teen game can have a descriptive blood and gore. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have gore.
Well.
We don't have, but we are stealing a character from the game This is Vegas. I'm very excited. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, Vegas is...
Vegas
is another one of our Midway games that's going to be
right
coming
out of our Seattle studio.
Yeah. That's right. Awesome. Thanks a lot for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I'm glad that we were able to steal you for a little bit. I know that you're only in town, you know, once every couple of weeks to kind of catch up with the
executives.
Once every month or so.
And I like that you could pretend that we don't talk because you have taken over my office since I've been gone.
Yeah,
I like the pretension of, nice of you to visit.
Yeah. Sean comes back and Austin goes, what happened to my office? There's Hector sitting in the chair going, what do you need? What do you want?
You know, seriously, I still want my fridge.
I'm sorry.
You know, the mini fridge I let Hector use and it's disappeared.
I pawned it off. You know, the funny thing, I'm trying to portray myself as some sort of person with clout in this company, but every single podcast, it just, you know, the legend of Hector just keeps getting knocked a little bit further down the rung.
Well, maybe you'll get the everyday man will, you know, bond with you.
Maybe that's true too. Okay, everybody, I don't have my own office at this point. All right, I'm babysitting Sean's office while he's in Newcastle. Their secret is out there.
Yeah, at least we're not making you sit in the hallway with a laptop or anything.
That's going to be in October when Sean gets back.
I sit in a guest chair in my office with my laptop heating my thighs.
It's going to be great. But seriously, thanks. We're looking forward to Wheelman. We're looking forward to having you back on the MK team. And that's pretty much it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for coming in.
Cool.
Appreciate
I'm
it.
Happy to be here.
All Take right. it easy.
Tell your friends.
So, you know, it's awesome that, you know, had Sean in here, asked him a few questions, listened to
his
stories.
Yeah, it didn't come out as good as I thought it was going to come out, man. You know, I thought he was going to be a little more interesting.
Well, yeah, he has a lot of dirt. I definitely says he was holding back on some of the dirt he could have had on the team members, on you, on
yeah,
me.
I'm glad. Well, no, he didn't hold back on talking about me. But, I mean, you know, when you're in that executive producer role, you have to kind of, carry yourself a different way, so... We'll have to just have to get him drunk.
Yeah,
we'll have
I was going to say, next time we get a few drinks in him before he comes.
We'll have to do one of these MCAS on the road, you know, bring a little a tape recorder. Matt, is that possible? Can we bring a little tape recorder and bring it in? You'll be able to fix it up and edit out all the forget, I'm not going to get into what we do in our...
Too much detail.
But, yeah, it was really interesting. I'm looking forward to playing the final version of Wheelman. I mean, I play I'm getting a build every other day to kind of check over stuff. But once the game all comes together...
You got a good gauge. You've seen that thing progress from beginning to end. And you're getting to, you know...
Yeah, it's been crazy. And you can definitely see the MK influence on that. So that wraps it up for this week. Again, I'm Hector.
And I'm Hans.
And we'll see you in the future and where we'll talk about some cooler stuff. And keep sending us questions.
Yeah, more questions.
WorldsCollide.com, www.midway.com. Check out the forums. Say, hey, Hector and Hans, we got some questions for you. Facebook, add us at a friend. I would say go on we have a MySpace page, right? I'm not even on MySpace.
I do. I haven't touched it in a while. I might have to reactivate it.
I think Sub-Zero and Scorpion actually have MySpace pages, which is crazy. They had it for Armageddon. Yeah. I don't know if we're carrying it over. It was weird because they were each other's top friend, even though they're rivals. But, you know, MySpace, man.
They know how to separate work and, you know, outside.
Exactly.
And,
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.